You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS.
And Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is, well, technically speaking, it is hour 11 of our 12-hour broadcast on the award-winning Majority Report. This podcast will be released on Friday, November 18th, but it is, in fact, late in the evening on Thursday, November 17th.
Evening?
Nighttime. My name is Sam Cedar. This, I think, as I said, is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal but not metaphorical shadow of the New York Times building, in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. And for the final hour and a half of the program, a little bit less, we will have Cliff Schechter. I don't know if we'll have Rosen, but maybe somebody else can call in and give us some movie reviews. And I'm going to take all the IMs and phone calls that have stacked up over the course of these past 10 and a half hours. But now, oh, and we're also going to have the Reefer Cake and Screaming Majority Songs of the Week. And but now, of course, before we go to Cliff Schechter, we need the Cliff Schechter intro song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Staying up late is Cliff Schechter from LibertasLLC.com. Cliff?
Samuel, how are you, my man?
I am giddy with anticipation for our conversation, and also so exhausted that I can't feel my toes.
I think it's probably a combo.
Yeah,
now,
no,
it's probably,
I think it's
not a good time to ask you about Libya, is it?
Okay, hold on for a second. There's things are dancing around.
High
on
the hill was a lonely goat. Her lay, or the lay,
or the lay.
Now the voice of the lonely goat. Her lay, or the lay, or the low.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. What was the question again?
I think it was exactly the answer you just gave. Was perfect.
That
was awesome, by the way.
What's that? The video with that song, or just Herman Cain in general?
I think a combo of Herman Cain and that song are glorious together. Herman Cain is just too awesome. We need him. We need him.
Let's talk about the Republican candidates. I don't spend much time on it, but it has just been, my gosh. I mean, this is just, if aliens were to come down and take a look at the potential presidents of one of the two major parties, I mean, they would just say, let's just invade. Even if we had no plans, no desire, no real reason, let's just invade.
I think they actually would even be so offended they might skip the anal probes, because you're just not going to get anywhere with us as a people. There's just nothing to probe at that point. yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It is. I guess the used. I start feeling like it's almost getting trite, but it can't get trite because the way these people just one-up each other in their insanity. I mean, again, now we've got like Gingrich at the top again, and you know, or Gingrich is used to being at the top. A variety of different people, I think. You know, that's gross. The man is like a walking ethics violation. You know, waiting to happen. He's a he literally is the definition of adultery. He's a fucking joke. But
isn't he just like? I mean, he is a con man, right? I mean, isn't he just essentially a con man? I mean, beyond the idea of like politicians, you know, promise things that they can't deliver, or, you know, they pretend to be people that they aren't. I mean, this guy is about as out and out as much of a con man as you could possibly be. I mean, he has gone on to say that Barney Frank, because of his association with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, should be sent to jail. And he was paid $1.6 million to basically consult.
It was to be a historical consultant, which as soon as I saw it, I was like, why did I not finish my PhD? Because, man, the money for history PhDs these days is awesome.
This was over
8 million, or like, what, 7 years or so?
Eight. I mean, that's the thing. It's 8 years. He's tutoring them on history for 8 years.
Listen, the War of 1812, some very important things happened that could affect the market.
He would come back and he would give them a test each week. I mean, according, he put out a release, okay? I guess it was yesterday. Wednesday night, that restated what the candidate said, but it instead offered strategic advice. According to the release, Gingrich also did not, as part of his contract, advocate against pending legislation affecting Freddie Mac, as Gingrich was accused of. So he's sort of backing off a little bit of his claims that it was just
right.
History, but sort of, I mean, this is just... It's just stunning. I mean, he must not.
You really put it the best, I think. I mean, that's the best I've ever heard anybody. I just think it's simple. You know, we try to sort of analyze. There's really no analysis needed. He's a con man.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, Sam. I mean, really, it is in its simplicity because that's what he is. He's just, if you look at how he's treated, I mean, he's obviously, you know, his own staff members have referred to him in the past as sociopathic. And that's what con men are, right? They've got no empathy, no sympathy. They don't care about the people they hurt. And if you look at the way he's treated the women in his life, the way he's treated ethics, you know, law, the way he politically, the way he's happy to just bomb Iran any second he can, and the way
for Clinton's impeachment because of a sexual dalliance while he is having his second or third affair on his second or first wife. I mean,
that's exactly right.
The
whole delivering the thing while she was delivering the divorce papers to the first wife while she's in the hospital with cancer. You know, you'd think that would be the worst thing you could come up with on this guy. But my guess is he's an oppo researcher's dream. And if you were to look long enough, you'd probably come up with a good half dozen things he's probably done worse than that. I mean, I think he really is just a sociopath. And, I mean, that's not that unusual because I think Karl Rove is. I think there's a whole lot of people on the right that are. But he, out of all these guys, you know, it's amazing. Bob Seska, who writes a weekly kind of top-of-the-fold piece for the Huffington Post, has a great piece up this week, you know, because it's easy to forget how he got into this race. Like, what happened when he got in, how he announced his candidacy and immediately went on a two-week cruise to Greece and his whole staff quit.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, his candidacy has been like one joke after another, and that they're at a point where they need to turn to this guy, I think just tells you everything you need to know. You know what I mean? I mean, when you think yourself, who could be more embarrassing than Rick Perry and Herman Cain? Newt Gingrich could be.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Herman Cain, I think he got into this race because he thought, hey, this would be a fun thing to do. It's going to help my book sales. I've got some ideas, and I'm going to have a limited candidacy. You know, I'm never going to get so far into this race that someone's going to ask me about, you know, Becky Stan or Libya or things like right of return. That's just not going to happen. But Newt Gingrich, I think he is a full on. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, and I'm speaking as a guy who worked for a guy like this when Air America launched. literally the guy I think is. I don't know if he's in prison now in Guam or Hawaii or something, but I've
seen the bracelets mugshot. In Guam. I was told by a common friend of ours.
And this is a guy who you would ask him questions, who literally, when it came time to pay certain talent, sent over a big manila envelope that ostensibly had checks and receipts in it, and it just ended up being like newspaper clippings. Like, he actually took the con that far. You know what I mean? Like,
HBO was like filming it, right? Didn't he say he had $18 million and he had like three? I mean, I'm exaggerating, but he had,
No, I think that's accurate. I think he may have even had, I think he had about three. He said he had to capitalize $20 million and he was bouncing checks. And it was always the story was like, oh, there's something wrong with the, we had to switch accounts because of we had the wrong color checks. And, and at one point he literally, The whole thing fell apart when he had been basically not paying a bunch of different talent, but one person in particular, sent over his consigliere, essentially, who was also duped, with a big envelope full of newspaper clippings that were supposed to be checks. And so it's like, what is going on through his mind? Like, I could just say, hey, I don't have it. But no, I'm going to fill newspaper in this envelope and just hope for the best. Like, thanks for the checks. We won't open that for about 6 to 8 months. And, and I really think that is what Newt Gingrich is all about, because it's the only explanation as to why he could make, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it and actually have made $1.6 million. In basically telling them how to avoid regulation.
That's it. And then, of course, as you said, spending your time not just attacking Barney Frank, but actually blaming the very institutions he was consulting for and saying, like the other right-wingers, their talking points are that's what created the financial downfall. It's because all the banks were forced to be too nice to poor people, and so that's been part of their whole sort of thing from the beginning. And I mean, I think you have to be a sociopath. You have to be a con man. You really have to be on that level of just not even thinking twice about the things you do when you're attacking an institution and in the back of your mind, you should know that you made all this money from them. Or you're saying, Bill Clinton lied about sex, and you're lying about sex as you're doing that. He's attacking Democrats for being corrupt. I mean, that's how he rose to power, was going after the Democratic Speaker Jim Wright. For a book deal. And what did Newt Gingrich eventually get in trouble for, among other things? An enormous book deal with Rupert Murdoch. I mean, the hypocrisy is even more blatant than it normally is. Like, literally the same stuff he attacks, the exact same stuff, is what he's doing at the time or planning on doing. So, he is what he is, which is really kind of a joke. And that they have to turn to him. I mean, again, it's like with the economy where it is, and where we were, after the big election they had in 2010, they literally couldn't find anything better than this, this clown car group of jokers. I don't get it, but it's a lot of fun to watch.
It is a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, as long as one of them doesn't win.
Right. Well, this primary is going to go pretty far, right? I mean, I'm not 100% sure that I'm too familiar with the Republican primary, but a lot of it is, it's not winner take all, is it? When they go in their primaries,
they don't have the super delegate up in the same way. I'm not I don't want to claim I know the system in and out either, but I know they don't have kind of the super delegate setup the Democratic primaries have. So it's much tougher for them to kind of to control things that way. I'm actually kind of surprised they don't have that. You think they would be as top down as possible.
Right. In some ways, they have a more sort of like a broadly speaking democratic system than the Democrats do within the context of their primary. But the interesting thing is that because Cain and Gingrich aren't really sort of like actual presidential candidates, in the same way that, you know, maybe Rick Perry is, who thinks that he can run, you know, that he could actually win, maybe, he thinks, 4 years from now. They don't have the same incentive structure to bail out. Like, you know, Newt Gingrich knows he's not going to be VP. Herman Cain may kid himself. But these guys know that basically their job in the future is going to be on Fox News or on the speaking circuit.
Right.
So they don't have the same incentive to drop out, even if they can't win, even if it becomes obvious to them. So this Republican nomination could go very far. I mean, it could be disputed for quite a while.
Well, the longer you go, the more famous you get. I mean, even if you become infamous, I mean, the fact that Rick Perry, you know, can't count to three when he's at one of these debates, and the fact that Herman Cain thinks Libya is a part of Sri Lanka, you know, and the rest, what it ends up doing is that their name recognition grows because they're so mocked and they're being talked about by the late night comedian. And what that, I mean, sort of the Sarah Palin formula. What that leads to is those on the far right defending them, you know, no matter what. And it helps them get like a core following. So in the end, 70% of the country or more thinks that they're complete imbeciles, as they are, and wants nothing to do with them. But to sell books and to get people to watch you on TV, and you don't need most people. If you can get a small core audience that's excited about you, I mean, so it's sort of the Sarah Palin Huckabee, you know, they both came out of that past election cycle and ended up with TV gigs and books and the rest. And I think Herman, you know, Cain at the least, I think Gingrich potentially too, went into this thing just wanting that. And so what you get is you really get you get talk show, radio talk show hosts, TV personalities. That's basically who tends to make up the Republican primary for the most part. You know, and if Mitt Romney had a sort of a single position that he hadn't changed over the course of his political career or hadn't changed 14 times, he would be probably in pretty good shape. But, you know, because of who he is, that's going to make things that much tougher, because at least you could say that's not something he seems to be going for as the TV or radio gig or the rest of it. But, I mean, obviously he literally, I don't think, has any principle that he wouldn't throw overboard to be president. So, and some people can even sense that, believe it or not.
There's a lot more, I guess, I think there's a lot more hatred of Romney, deep-seated hatred of Romney than people imagine.
I think you're right. I mean, I think on the right, some of it is for, you know, ridiculous reasons that come from the right. You know, some of it will be that his Mormonism, which, again, you know, if we're talking about cults, I mean, I don't see why Mormonism is any more of a cult than people handling snakes in the mountains of Tennessee.
That's what when I talk to people about it, it's going to be like, well, we can stick with the Kenyan Muslim we know, or vote for the Satanist. You know, this is according to the I think what is actually like a broad swath of the Republican Party.
So there's going to be that. You know, that's going to end up hitting him. The Mormonism is going to be a problem, certainly in the southern states and some others. And that would be something to me that shouldn't be a problem, because they support all sorts of religious fanatics like Michelle Bachmann and insane people. So why should that be a problem? But then I think there will be legitimate problems where there should be, which is, you know, whether people consider themselves moderate, although I don't know how many of them are still in the Republican Party, but there are some people that refer to themselves that way. How could they trust this guy is going to be what they think he's going to be? How could anybody conservative trust? I mean, the dude is a walking joke.
Right.
It's one thing to switch positions, and that happens to people, and people do, quote-unquote, evolve. And, you know, over the time that I've been doing, you know, believed in, you know, been politically active, I can think of a number of issues where my positions have changed somewhat, because I've learned more or I've experienced more in life, and I've realized that, you know, but there's no corresponding experience when you look at Romney and say, why did he go from position A to position B? There isn't, and it's not just changing, it's the degree of change.
Right.
It's going from saying you will be to the left of Teddy Kennedy on gay rights issues to where he is now.
And how how nakedly craven it is.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's quite obvious the timing is a little bit suspect when he makes these literally right or left turns over the course of his career. But we just have a couple minutes here, so I want to talk about this video that we were looking at of John Kyle basically being chased out of what appears to be some type of restaurant.
he's holding a fundraiser. He's holding a breakfast type fundraiser, and a lot of folks showed up in D.C. the 99% because he's Mr. Super Committee to let him know that they didn't quite think it was fair that he thinks Social Security and Medicare should be cut, but the yacht shoe tax should be lowered. So it was a good stuff. A good friend of mine, I don't know if you know Alex Lawson, who runs Social Security Works. He's the one who was harassing him at the end. I would actually not harassing him as much as just asking him a simple question. And I've surmised that the reason Kyle ran away is he was convinced that when he heard the name Social Security Works, that 90% of what they do is performing abortions. So,
and Alex Lawson was the guy who got Alan Simpson on tape saying they're all teat suckers.
Yes,
300 million teat suckers. But, you know, it seems to me that Alex should be doing that same thing with guys like John Kerry, because at the end of the day, they're going to need one Democratic vote if they're actually going to make a deal. And
that's correct.
Those are the guys who seems to me to be most susceptible to the leverage. Maybe going after Kyle is some type of broadside, but, you know, that's really the big concern here, isn't it?
No, you're right. I think the videos like that are important, and it shows these guys for the cowards they are, and I think it gets people excited, you know, and you know, with what's going on with Occupy and the rest, that people are standing up for their rights. I think that's an important thing, too, to get people kind of bucked up and ready to fight for what's theirs. But I agree with you. But, you know, knowing Alex and how Social Security works, it's worked in the past, you know, when that committee was Simpson and Bowles, Erskine Bowles, of course, is a Democrat. They went after Bowles, too, and other Democrats way back during the, you know, when
Bowles
Obama
has been
the original,
a long time. Bowles has been a long time privatization fan.
Right. He's a, you know, investment banker type Democrat. He's of the neoliberal belief system, which has so failed us. So you know, I agree with you 100%, but I have no worry and no concern. I've worked with Alex on issues before, and John Kerry and other Democrats who might be wavering, I'm quite sure we'll be hearing from them.
That's encouraging because this is the big – I mean, I think the next week is going to really speak a lot to what's going to happen over the next year. Right? I mean, the deadline is the 23rd.
Yeah, it's huge. And their priority is, you know, if I can speak for them for a second, at least from what I can see, because I'm not tied to the organization in any way, but it seems to me that they're and the whole coalition they're working with, which includes a number of unions and other groups, is preserving Social Security and Medicare and not allowing them to be ravaged like the right and neoliberal Democrats want to do. So I don't really think it's going to be partisan because I don't. They're not there to get Democrats reelected. They're there to protect Social Security. So I think they'll stick to that. And again, I can only speak from knowing Alex, and he's one hell of an activist. So you know,
well,
I feel better knowing he's there and knowing they're a part of it.
No, absolutely. I mean, without a doubt, it doesn't hurt to spread the word that anybody who supports cutting Medicare and Social Security are going to be called out for it. But we're just 4 or 5 days away, November 23rd, from the deadline of the Super Committee, and I am one of those people who are. Praying
rooting for deadlock.
I really
me too,
am.
Man.
I mean, I have my national prayer team that I get here from. I think it's Focus on the Family, and among the different prayers, you know, they ask that pray God will move the court to hear the case unconstitutional. That's the prayer on Obamacare.
Is there a prayer in their kind of list for who the current monthly pinup at Rent Boy is, or no?
no, but there is a Super Committee Thanksgiving deadline prayer. May we repent for our fiscal national excess. May our leaders agree to implement real cuts and restraints to our taxpayer dollar addicted bureaucracy. And then they quote Deuteronomy 28, PR 18, 19, Joel 2, 15 through 19, Luke in the Corinthians. And then, of course, on Occupy Wall Street, may the movement simply fizzle. May God protect those who live nearby and must encounter these raucous groups. May God harvest souls for Christ among them as he did discontented youth in the Jesus movement of the 60s and 70s. And that's, you know, Samuel and, there's a lot of,
wow, that's
apparently,
the stuff
Romans,
there.
There's a lot of basis for that prayer that I figured I'd fill you in on, because I know that you are the Old Testament ilk.
Yeah, I'm a Saturday person like you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I always like to learn more about what Sunday people are up to. So it's particularly in the case of crazy ones. So that's good to know.
Yeah, you got it down. Now, Cliff, I am going to say thank you for coming on. I am going to stagger through the final hour of this 12-hour run. We've got Jimmy Reefer Cake and Screaming Majority songs coming up. Hey, do you have any – I can't seem to get a hold of Chris Rosen. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Do you have any movie reviews?
He's hiding out on you again?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go with my movie pick I'm about to watch, because believe it or not, and she's going to kill me for saying this on air, but I don't care. I'm saying my wife is out with some friends seeing the opening night of Twilight. Starts at midnight tonight. So I think so I'm not recommending that, by the way. But what I'm going to watch Collateral. You ever see that where Tom Cruise is a crazy hitman?
Collateral? No.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that, Matt?
Oh. Jamie Foxx, Tom Cruise in a role as a Newt Gingrich-like, that's now a synonym for sociopathic, hitman who goes around and is on a killing spree in L.A., and he grabs Jamie Foxx, who's a taxi driver, and makes him drive him to all these hits. And at some point, Jamie Foxx he's going to.
Sorry, bud.
Oh, I just got crushed. Well, that's why you invite me on for the political stuff.
Right. No, I just gave you an audition for a movie reviewer. Not
I had to be better than Rosen, right?
Yeah. No? Well, at least first of all, you copped to not having seen the movie, but that you're going to see it. Whereas Rosen just sort of pretends he's seen the movie, and then we find out later that he hasn't.
Well, that's just.
So I mean, you win in the audience, the honesty realm, but no.
Well, I heard also that Rosen was over about a 3-year period was paid by Freddie Mac to give movie reviews. So he's looking at that too.
Historical movie reviews.
Exactly. Before you throw me off the air, which I know you're about to do, I have to make sure to congratulate you and say that it's fantastic and awesome that you've been doing this for a year. And looks like there's a lot of excitement out there on the internet and Twitter. So everybody who is not a member, become a member, because what Sam is doing kicks ass, and necessary, and fun.
Did you folks just hear Cliff Schecter? Did you just hear what he said?
Guys, what else are you going to spend your money on? It's so much better to spend it on being able to laugh your ass off while crying about the state of our democracy and listening to Sam about how to improve it.
Charge.
Cliff Schecter, thank you so much. We're going to take a brief break, and then we'll come back with this week's Jimmy Reefer Cake and Screaming Majority songs, and then your calls and IMs for the final. Wow, we're already into the final hour. Thank you very much, Cliff. We'll talk to you.
Hang in there.
Oh, hey, we probably won't talk next week because it'll be Thanksgiving, but happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
And we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you in December.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, have a safe Thanksgiving, because you know how dangerous it could be to choke on turkey bones. Folks, what do you want me to tell you? We're in the latter stages of hour 11. Moving quickly, headlong. Wait, no, we're in the 12th hour now.
This is the final hour.
The final hour.
I feel that radical Muslims who want to control the Middle East and ultimately the world would love to see In God We Trust stricken from our money and replaced with In Muhammad We Trust. We don't understand. No.
are back, ladies and gentlemen. Oh boy, it is the we're in the final hour of a 12-hour show today, and folks, a great time for me to say, hey, why don't you become a Majority Report member? Oh, we forgot to play that thing, dude. That ad.
What ad?
We got paid for that ad. Don't you remember that ad? That classic radio ad? Dude, don't you remember the ad?
I remember what you're talking about, but I can't find it.
The extender ad?
I found it. Okay. I just found it. You want to play it now?
We should play the ad.
All right.
This is what's keeping us going tonight.
For
those of you who listened to this version of the program in the early, early days, before even, I think, our hard launch, you may remember we had one sponsor. It worked out for one day, and then we lost the sponsorship, but here it is.
Hello, I'm Dr. Charles A. Fisher. Are you a man who is self-conscious in your romantic approaches to women or perhaps other men? Are you embarrassed by your inability to satisfy your lover? I have worked in the clinical male enhancement field for 25 years, and I have never found a more effective product for male enhancement than a Majority Report paid membership. Within hours of signing up as a Majority Report member, you will see demonstrable improvement in breath and penetration on a wide range of political topics. You will also see a demonstrable improvement in your ability to satisfy internet radio hosts. I guarantee you'll never be embarrassed again by your membership.
A Majority Report membership offers no guarantee that you won't be embarrassed by your membership.
Here you go. Well, now I think you know why we had to cancel that sponsor. Partly because they weren't paying; they wouldn't pay us any money for that. It was supposedly some type of they wanted to do a barter deal. And I said, I have no. All right, folks, come right up. Come on, people, pick it up a little bit.
Oh, boy.
So the first song of the week, ladies and gentlemen, coming from Jimmy Reefer Cake. And I'm sorry, what was the name of it again?
Love a Libertarian.
Love a Libertarian. Of course, Jimmy Reefer Cake loves libertarians. Well, let's find out why, shall we? Here is the song.
Happy anniversary, Majority.fm. Conservatives, man, and all their hypocrisy, unless they want to legalize weed, then they're all right with me.
Wow, I have to say that Scream Majority better have their best this week, because that might be one of Jimmy Reefer Cake's best. That was hilarious.
That was pretty impressive, Jimmy Reefer Cake, pulling out all the stops when it really counts. That thing was pretty. It was sweet. I mean, it was like it was a sweet song. I mean, I almost could love a libertarian now. I almost could. And of course, love the sinner, hate the sin. Isn't that the love the libertarian, hate the libertarianism, I think is the saying. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time indeed for the Screaming Majority's song of the week. And remember, we probably have no songs next week, actually, because next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we will actually be using parts of today's 12-hour show for those days. They will be, semi-fresh content. Well, fresh content, I guess, unless you listened live today. But thousands of you didn't. And you will hear it all next week. So today is actually Friday. If you're listening to this on podcast, it is actually Thursday night if you're listening to it live. But here is the Screaming Majority. And what is the name of the song?
I believe it's called One-Year-Old or Like a One-Year-Old. I don't have the full name on me here in this file.
Matt's losing it, folks.
Scream like a one-year-old, 'cause you're one-year-old, or so we've been told. We're gonna scream like Howard Dean, gonna make a scene like a politics fiend. You've been at it for a year now, Cedar. Why ain't the world any sweeter? Why is it so sucky? Who was just unlucky? Are we damned? Get back to work, Sam, and scream like a one-year-old, 'cause you're one-year-old. Put that collar on hold and scream at the majority, though you're 43, of that vicinity.
I loved it. I loved it.
Maybe every Friday should be our 1 year anniversary if we're going to get two songs like that. Jeez.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I like the
amazing.
You know, the thing about the Screaming Majority is they work on multiple levels. Like, did you pick up the collar joke?
I missed that one.
Yeah. No, they were saying that, you know, I'm a one-year-old, so stop trying to play with the collar, because that was when we started this show, this version of the program. I was quite adamant that I was going to always wear a collared shirt,
and I did not know that.
I think I have every single day that we have done this program, which is probably. Well, gosh, how many?
Wait, I just assumed you were one of those type of guys who just don't wear T-shirts. You just always wear button-up shirts.
I used to. I made a conscious decision at one point over the past couple of years that I'm always going to wear a collared shirt.
That's interesting. See, I'm a short sleeve T-shirt guy. I would never be wearing a collared button-up shirt ever.
Well, of course, but we're a different age, I was at a different point in my life.
I did say ever though, which means it's not an age issue.
Well, no, dude, you're not ever, because you're in your early 20s.
Mid.
Mid-20s.
I'm getting old.
So let's see. If we have 14 pages of 20, 14 times 20, 200, we have done, let's see, I guess 240 shows?
Just look on a list.
A little bit less. A little bit less than 240 shows. Approximately 230 shows this year. And so I think I've worn a collar 230 times.
It's crazy.
It really is. It really is crazy. And
the same two collared shirts all 230 times too, right?
I don't have a huge selection of shirts. But I have an even smaller selection of pants. They function enough.
You can wear pants. You don't have to. We wear pants multiple days, weeks, months.
Yeah. Same that way washing. You don't have to empty out with pockets. All right, folks. We are now going to go into the better half of the program. We're going to give it a freebie, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to do. Okay, we got a
freebie Friday.
Yeah, freebie Thursday too. They got.
Wow.
Charge.
I've been leaning on that a little bit too much. I'll get it.
Poopy, poopy, poop.
What's that? You want to take play the song and what?
Am I? I'm asking you.
Yeah, play the song. Let's take a 2 minute break and then we'll come back and I will take your phone calls and your IMs. We got a lot of people on hold. We'll be right with you. Just bear with us.
Satan, I put hell.
All right, folks, we are back on the Majority Report. We are in the final hour of a 12-hour live show to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the relaunch of the Majority Report and the two-month anniversary of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Folks, always a great time for you to become a Majority Report member on the one-year anniversary of the program. You've enjoyed the show. You've sampled it out now 240 times. So it seems to me you probably like it. Why not support it going forward in the future? We're hoping to have a new website redesigned. We're going to get better video cameras. We're going to upgrade some of our material. And maybe we'll also be able to start to package this show for low-power FM stations. But we need your help to do that, and that will come in the form of membership. You can join today at Majority FM. Let's take this caller. We got many callers on the line. You're calling from a 253 area code. Who's this?
This is Kevin.
Kevin, welcome to the program, Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Semicolon, actually.
Kevin Semicolon! Oh, I gotta give you one of these. Oh. What's up?
Thanks. I was just calling about my reviews that I do on the rumpus.net.
Yes.
I put one up today, a day early. Actually, of Stefan Essel's book, Time for Outrage.
Uh-huh.
And I think everyone should check it out because it's a really important book. And it's sold, like, millions of copies, and it's extremely short. It's really easy to read. And it's been translated into, like, five languages just in Spain alone. Because of like Los Indignados and
did you send me an email about it?
Yeah, I did.
All right, good. I'm going to check it out and, I'll talk about it after I read it.
All right, right on.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling. Keep up the good work. Check out the rumpus.net folks. Oh my God. Can I really not remember his name? Stephen.
Kevin Semicolon?
No.
I thought you were trying to talk about
him. Oh, God. I can't believe
it. Oh, you mean the author of the book?
No. The Rumpus. I think it was started by. I can't remember. I can't remember. The name has escaped me. Let's go back to the phones, shall we? You call him from a 570 area code. Who's this?
Hi, I'm Jillian Perot, and I'm a libertarian. I think you've been beating up on us a little bit today.
Jillian, I have. What do you want to say to that?
Well, I actually am prepared to argue any point you'd like to argue.
Well, I mean, okay. Can you name for me a
an example of a society that has had a free market. Totally free market.
A society that has had a free market. Well, and I'm going to be honest, I cannot name for you something where there's ever been exactly a pure free market unless you count what happened. And, you know, adjusting natural humanity, and people are always making mutually beneficial exchanges. Even a socialist society has that happening. You always have a black market, and it's something that cannot be changed by regulation. It always exists.
What's that? Okay, so regulation doesn't have any impact on the market.
No, it has an impact. I'm just saying that, you know, mutually beneficial exchange will take place always. And I believe that it's more effective when it's not regulated.
Do you think that asymmetrical information in the marketplace is problematic? In other words, if I'm a consumer and I don't really have any way to know whether or not this product is can kill me or is bad for my health, even after the fact, do you think that's problematic to the marketplace?
Well, I think that you're assuming that the government is the only vehicle by which these things can be determined. You know, there is definitely the reality that things can harm you in the marketplace. But I definitely trust the consumer to learn, to hire people to study, to hire people to look into these things more so than I would trust a bureaucrat with it, because they really have no true motivation to do a good job. And to assume that making a law is going to somehow prevent bad things from happening in any way, shape, or form, it's just irresponsible. And in fact, I think it tends to breed
Jillian, wait a second. Are you suggesting that when we started to regulate beef, for instance, our beef supply wasn't improved in terms of, you know, I mean, obviously the amount of beef in this country, and we have factory farming, has increased, but that's not a function of the government. But are you suggesting in some way that we are less safe because of government regulation than we would be otherwise?
I think the problem is when things go wrong, when the government's involved, there's really no way to correct it. You know, when things go wrong in a free market, you can make immediate corrections. But when you have...
What's the motivation,
you know,
let's say
the FDA.
Let me ask you this. What's the motivation, say, mm-hmm. What's the motivation for a corporation that dumps, let's say, toxic waste into the Hudson River and kills the river? What's the motivation for that corporation to stop dumping that waste in there if there's no government regulation?
See, well, now you're confusing libertarianism with anarchy, because libertarians absolutely 100% believe in property rights. And in a less muddled, less confusing kind of regulation system, you really have coming down to the basic rights. Like, people own things, they own the fruits of their labor, and property isn't included in that. So,
well, let me ask you this. When the Cuyahoga River and when the Hudson River were dead rivers, who owned those rivers, and why didn't they protect their property rights?
Well, the problem is, they should have sued. But the problem
Who's
also
they?
Being at those times.
Who's they?
All of the citizens.
The citizens should
absolutely have done that.
They should have sued, and why didn't
they? Well, the problem is at that
Do
time,
they have standing?
Had a lot of government involving in regulations.
Do you think
there
citizens,
was a lot of immunity?
If there's no government regulation, do you think that citizens have standing to sue based upon the pollution of a river that they don't own individually?
Well, if it affects their property, then each one of them has the right to sue.
No, but what if it doesn't affect their property? In other words, you're saying the only people that could have sued are people who live on the edge of the river, but they don't own the river. They own an easement to the river, but they don't own the notion that the river shouldn't be polluted.
Well, this may be true, but they can also, you know, join forces with the people who do live on those lands and help give them the
resources. Well, why didn't they do that? Why did it take government regulation to clean up the Hudson River? Why did it take government regulation to keep the Cuyahoga River from actually lighting on fire? The Cuyahoga River lit on fire.
I completely understand what you're saying. But I think that it's a problem with perception with people. They tend to default to asking the government to use its force to make change. And I think that's really...
That was the only thing that cleaned up the Cuyahoga River and the Hudson River, Jillian. That was the only thing that cleaned it up. And according to you, the marketplace should have dealt with it. But, I mean, if a river can get so bad that it can light on fire, the market has failed.
Completely pillaged.
Excuse me?
By that time, our court system had already been completely pillaged. There was a time in this country when juries were aware of their rights, where you didn't need a $50,000 lawyer, that things like that weren't so expensive. And as our government has grown, these things have become more in favor of, you know, those types and the bureaucrats than it has for the people. In a libertarian society, you wouldn't have that much of a barrier in order to have a group of citizens say, this is wrong and this is right. Mm. You would have people showing up to court saying, this person wronged us. Your neighbors would get together and say, yeah, you're
that,
right.
How would that happen in practice? How would you get that? By everybody would go to libertarian camps to understand that this is the way they should operate?
Well, you know, and that's the sad reality is a lot of people, you know, aren't educated about it. But I absolutely don't believe in using, you know, force.
So all we would need to have a libertarian society is for people to change and for the way they organize to change. And for their knowledge to change and everything else to change, and then it would work.
Well, it would work regardless, but so long as the avenues available are the avenues we have, that's just what's going to happen. When you're in China, you're going to use their system. Nobody says the China system is awesome. It's just the system they have. You know, and you can argue really against the American system if you're in China and say, how would that work? It wouldn't work because this is what we have. And they'd be right because they have the Chinese
system.
Well, so
who are you? Okay, but now you can say that back and forth, Chinese system, American system. Where does the system that you're talking about, where does that exist?
Well, it used to exist in America.
Really?
You
when?
Know, there was a time when people were free.
When
the Constitution
when,
was written.
Wait, Jillian, answer my question for a second. Wait a second. Power. Hold on for a second. When in America did that time exist?
Well, when there was less capability.
No, give me a date. Give me a date.
Give you a date?
Yeah,
well,
in other words.
Any time from the 1880s to the 1900s when there really wasn't the ingrained power in the government.
Yeah.
There was much less power in the government at that time. And people were able to grow and prosper.
Well, white people.
Rapid growth.
White people. I mean, I'm sorry. White men.
Well, yes, and that is the big sin of our, you know, of our past. And
I know.
Obviously,
but,
America
I mean,
was the
but
last
don't you think that? I mean, and of course, children were working in factories at that time, and of course, coal miners were dying, and I mean, the time you're talking about was horrible.
Well, where in the world were children not working at that time? I mean, you have to look at the resources they had. I mean, as we become more prosperous, and become more prosperous, by the way, through having the freedom to grow and innovate. But as we become more prosperous, you don't need to have children in the workplace.
If you had
laws that children couldn't work on a farm, they'd starve back then. They would have starved.
Right.
That would be your option.
I know. It doesn't really explain why people want to repeal child labor now. But let me ask you this, just so that we can, so that I can move on to somebody else. If you owned a restaurant, do you feel that it would be right for society to say that you can't discriminate? Not you, one, because I know that you wouldn't, because I know that's repugnant to you. But if you owned a restaurant, do you think it's right that you would be able to say, I'm not going to serve black people?
I think that as a moral issue, I would personally never go to a
no,
place
I know.
That doesn't
I stipulated
allow
that in my question.
But,
I know that you would.
I absolutely
no,
believe
no.
that.
But do you think one?
You know, I think it would be better. I think it would be better if we knew who the bigots were and who the racists were, because we could just starve them out of a paycheck.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I honestly would love to know.
There were so many of those people. Those
are
so many. There were so many of those people who were starving when they owned those restaurants. back in way back in the 1950s when they wouldn't serve black people. They were all going out of business.
Again, it just shows you how education has to take place in order for people to change. In all reality, the rates at which
not public
education,
more black
people are entering the
workforce. Not public education, private education. Because we wouldn't have government wouldn't be in the business of educating anybody.
I think that let's just say education on the fact that people learning, the process of people learning new things, experiencing new things, and using that to better their lives, it's going to be a natural progression. But let me also point out that prior to the Civil Rights Act, the amount of people entering the workforce of color was at the same exact rate that it was after those laws were passed. You know, there was the 4 years prior and the 4 years after had the same amount of increase. So it really wasn't a change when that law went into effect. Yeah. The change was happening because people were getting new information.
Yeah, I mean, there was
people
that kind of thing about the voting and all the other stuff. But, I mean, no, you're absolutely right. I'm sure there was no difference for a black person who, let's say, is playing for, you know, doing barnstorming as a baseball team, and they're able to actually go into the restaurant with their white teammates. I have a feeling that was probably a different experience for them, but I appreciate your opinion, and I appreciate your calling in. I got to jump. I got a bunch of other callers. Thank you.
All right. You have a good night. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. It is, it's pretty impressive how, everybody's got the same, same response to that question. I personally would never, but look, you know, we got to let people be racist, and then what we'll do is make sure they don't make any money.
To be honest, I was kind of shocked that, and this is not a sexist thing at all, it just seems like all these online libertarians are all males, so I was just shocked that she was female.
Well, no, I mean, bound to be, that's how they reproduce. It has to be female libertarians for libertarians to reproduce on the planet. I mean, I guess we could go back to the 1880s. I mean, I think, you know,
never
if you have to say that we're going to go back to the way this country was 110 years ago, when we had literally a fraction of the people in this country, and of course, people lived much more horrible lives, unless you were incredibly wealthy. To say that at that time we had all sorts of freedom, you know, the robber barons, the idea of there was no corruption with the railroads or anything like that, it's fantastical, is what it is. But, you know, be that as it may, you call him from a 212 area code. Who's this?
Hey, it's Reverend J.
Hey, Reverend J, how's it going? Thanks for calling in. Your video
is going really well.
I tweeted out your video. It was a great video about the sort of like attempted takeover of an occupation of Duarte Square.
Yeah, it's a really talented anarchist and performance artist who came in and just announced that they were going to annex the lot next door. And, yeah, it was a heck of an afternoon. Very dramatic.
Amazing video. I tweeted it out, and I'll try and dig it up. We'll put it on the Majority FM site. What's going on? Got just a minute.
Oh, well, first of all, I wanted to call you and wish you a happy anniversary. Hope you've blown your own show far.
Yes.
I wanted to tell you that got a chance to march across the Brooklyn Bridge tonight, and it was fantastic. It was victorious. The police left us alone. We just went right across. They had a general assembly in Brooklyn, and I just wanted to let you know that, you know, at least this time, it went really well.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Reverend J, thanks, buddy.
Okay, man. Have a good one.
You too. All right, let me get to some IMs because I got a bunch of IMs and I want to get through them. Missing Link, the Daily Caller, we talked about that. Thank you, buddy. Altieri, oh, darn, was drop fro. My Cedarista membership has highest return on investment. Thanks for your commitment and best news analysis. Gracias. Please, will Dewey call today? We could only be so lucky. Dewey, if you're out there, please, buddy, call. I will actually pay you to call in. You should check out the Occupy live stream. So this is at 4:15. Cool J146. Thanks for playing Choking Victim. Love that song. No, it had to be Matt's pick. Finding the volume on Marco super low. Oh, weird.
Herman Cain, great job, Sam. I'm a Cedarista and I've been listening most of the show. During a few breaks, I turn on CNN. Your coverage of Occupy Wall Street versus CNN's with a few retired cops talking about the impending violence and some fake journalists lamenting the inconvenience to commuters, especially hilarious. Lots of coverage of the pizzas as vegetable and school lunches story. The CNN host saying all this stuff is going to be talking about pizza. Dude, the pizza story is about lobbying and campaign donations determining government policy, and you can't connect the dots to Occupy Wall Street. Fail. Morella, 622. Germany also has one of the best single-payer universal health cares as well as generous pension system. No austerity in Germany. Are you drunk, Sam? If I had to go through a 12-hour work schedule, I'd be doing you're doing such a great job, but you're starting to sound a little frazzled. That was at 437. Chris, 644. Great show today. I've been listening for 6 hours, but I have to get my ass out of here to occupy Denver. Grab a tune. Long time no here. Retired captain. Oh, yeah. We talked about that Philly captain who got arrested. Noki, great to hear from you. Sorry I can't listen live. I want to say congrats on your anniversary. Thank you, Noki. Who is this playing right now at 5:07? I don't know. Jacqueline, hey. That's a spam bot. I'm happy now. Sam, loving it. Here are a bunch of really good charts for the crappiness of this economy. Been listening off and off between client threatening suicide and grandparents fighting with grandchildren. I'm amazed at your resiliency. Great job, Sam. Thank you. New order. Tears now in my eye. Excellent production idea. Chunks of today and you take a vacay. Pretty cool. New word order. She's wonderful. He's leaning outside of a restaurant. You're a funny man. Thank you for all that. Heliotropo. She's making things up. Please stop. My ears are bleeding at 11:03. Oh, you're 43 or that vicinity? Hilarious. What does it mean when libertarians say when you let them get a foot in the door addressing regulation? It's nonsense. It's a poor, slippery slope argument. Indeed. Johnny. Hey, Sam. Great job for the anniversary show. Keep on trucking. By the way, I love Janine. You should let her co-host as Catherine Harris sometimes. Oh, that would actually be really funny. They'd do a whole show that way. And Matt nails it with Order 66. Such a nerd. Thank you, Joe Sip. I can't believe this libertarian guy doesn't know about death squads bought by corporations in South America and Africa. Indeed. So far, the last libertarian caller seemed to do a good job arguing your points for you before the government kills people, straw man. That was at 6:40 p.m. Klug, Portland, congratulations on the anniversary. Hour 8. Delta Dave. Hey, Sam, congrats on Majority's anniversary. A lighter note, tell Matt his recommendation of middlemen was terrific. Very entertaining. Why is the military guarding oil tankers in the Middle East? Isn't that a direct subsidy to that industry? Thus making solar, wind, geothermal more expensive by default? Yes, and there's many of those. You can find Okajik. Hi, Sam. Happy anniversary. Sent you an email to Majority Reporters offering to sponsor a listener. Thank you so much. Would also like to buy you beers when you get together with a constitutional legal scholar who also happens to be my dad. Oh, that would be excellent. Please check email for more information. Best wishes for your show. Thank you, Okajik. We'll check it out. Janet, you do beautiful work, Sam. I've watched all day. We'll hang around till 11:30. That was just great. Sent an anniversary donation. Congratulations, kid. Thank you, Janet. Let me give Janet one of these. I can barely see. Atom Bomb 99. We already have libertarianism in the workplace. Demanding your rights in the workplace means harassment at best, firing at worst. My boss only gives shifts below 6 hours, so he doesn't have to figure out lunch breaks. How much more libertarianism do we need? Bixuni, congratulations, one of the year anniversary. We didn't have enough cash to send you guys down some Thai Airways flight attendants with streaming hot towels for refreshing during the marathon show. Well, thank you. It was a wonderful thought, but I sent in a little gift of $25. Thank you very much. Maybe you can start a fund for the drywall in the bunker studio next year at this time. We'll be appreciating you even more. Hope we focus the attention in the presidential election toward reconfiguring state and Senate seats, state local powers. Non-member listeners, if you're on the fence deciding if now is the time to become a member, let you assure you there's no time like the present. Long live the Majority Report. Indeed. 17-1-1-0-2. Sam, member and faithful listener here. Thank you. That Doran dude is full of shit, especially on his internet points. I don't pay for cable, just the internet. Therefore, I watch all my favorite shows on web, either through my Google TV, 360, or PC. I also play video games online, but I don't think I should have to pay more bandwidth just because I use more, considering how laughable our bandwidth is here compared with Asia. His point on bandwidth is absurd.
This would hurt me and other folks who get their entertainment online. Well, the issue isn't – see, the point is even your usage of bandwidth. The issue is that they would the carriers want to drive you towards their content. So they would arbitrarily regulate other people's bandwidth, not because your bandwidth is costing them more. That's absolutely absurd. The bandwidth through cable would be far more extensive. The issue is because they want to drive you to their content provider. 1801, happy anniversary, bud. Okay, Calhoun. Sam, I see no reason why you can't do a 12-hour show every day. Also, some students of mine, seniors, are doing fundraising for Occupy Wall Street. No idea where they got that idea. Excellent. Chimp Evil 666, happy anniversary, Sam. We've been listening to you for the better part of 7 years, and you've moved me and informed me like no other broadcaster. Thanks for your doing what you do. Had meetings all day and just started listening. Damn you corporate overlords. Are you going to package this marathon in a podcast? Yes, members will get all of this. Non-members will get some of it. Chastity Mannion. Oh, thank you. Hey, what's up? Well, I've been doing it. Wait a second. I don't know how she keeps getting through.
It wouldn't be a one-year anniversary show if we didn't get one of those.
That's right. And we've had multiple ones. Chat, we the Gap Corp office in Tribeca ordered us to leave the building at 5 due to a police protester action in the building, either trying to scare us or they wanted us to join. Interesting. 1,000, happy anniversary. I've been a dedicated member since you launched. Much love, Christy. Thank you. Your old boss, not a fan of irony, huh? Love, almost Senator Catherine Harris. Indeed. John, if you give any money to Benjamin, I will stop my membership. Distinction of the dinosaurs. Nice. Sam, we have similar luck. You selected the one period in which an amazing guy named Tim at the other 99% runs a 24-hour web stream of Occupy Wall Street marches to run your marathon and drown you out completely for most of the day. But now Tim is down, so turn on the charm, ask for memberships. Similar to you when leaving when Occupy Wall Street begins. If you were stock and it was capitalist, I would have the perfect short signal. Also great music, et cetera, et cetera. Going to hit the hay. Okay. Know that there's a teenager listening to you right now and being inspired. You do good work. Oh, well, thank you. Hi, Sam, from McLeod, Ganj Darasmala, India. I can't pronounce that, but I'm sorry, Tens and Dorden. Just sending my warm wishes for you and your family to reap success for your good effort. Streaming today reminds me of the desperate struggle to stream Air America on a lousy dial-up connection as John Benjamin calls in. The Empire didn't convey common law property deed recordation to India, so even H.H. Dalai Lama's office lost a huge sum buying land in Delhi from someone whom a court declared wasn't legal owner. Creation of private fake deed record corp is destroying common law property rights. Why don't libertarian conservatives focus anger on that destruction of liberty? Because of Solyndra. That's why. Agnos liberals. Oh, I got freaky porn when I tried to listen live from smartphone. Disturbing porn. All better now. That was that's one of the members. Hey, says the Bat Scribe. Dude, long time no IM. Do you see the Occupo video projection on the Verizon building? Yes. Saw a picture of it. Could be seen from the bridge and the chopper shots. Fantastic. Camera operator was trying very hard to find the source of the projection. Dradmanthes, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all come early this year for Majority Reporters. Thanks for an awesome day and a great year, Sam. Thank you. Yoros Mehmed, do you have any stats about male versus female breakdown for libertarians? Can't find anything online, although I did read that less than 20% of libertarians identify as heterosexual. No, that's not true. Dude, is that true? I would be surprised. But maybe. Dude, you made this look easy. I'm convinced you could do a 12-hour show every day. In retrospect, it seems clear that Tea Party was the Republicans' way of dressing up self to take the stink off it. Okay. Gotta keep going. Anthony Lopert, that darn legal fee inflation. Please make a clip of this call and put it on YouTube at 11:03. Thanks for your hard work, and I'm already a member and will be renewing when that comes up. Thank you very much. I recommend people drop their cable packages and use that savings to support quality like you, Malloy, and Hartman, etc. Indeed. Evening Star M, you're so popular that I keep getting a busy signal when I call. I've been listening all day. Yeah, I'm sorry, callers. We got stacked up. These IMs have been there all day. This is your best show yet. Can we do this again tomorrow, please? Oh, I forgot. You have a family. Never mind. But thank you for the today and every day. Well, my pleasure. Quite enjoyable. Sammy Camera 1, when your libertarian caller argues that citizens should band together to stop river pollution instead of relying on a government regulation, she seems to understand the most fundamental American principle, we the people are the government. Yes, citizens banding together to stop pollution is what brought us the EPA. The idea that 100 citizens who live along the river or a certain part of the river can band together to fight GE is just fantastical. It just doesn't happen. Congratulations on year one, 7035. A thought for the libertarian wingnuts out there. Try this as a radical concept. In a democracy, the government is all of us acting as a body. Well, there you go. Lefty Mom, 65, Fran mentioned wondering what Congress was up to while we were paying attention to Occupy Wall Street. Let me clue you in. Senator Lindsey Graham and McCain justified why the military reauthorization bill should keep the part allowing DOD to have complete control of anyone, including U.S. citizens, who are accused of terrorism activists, and meaning do not pass go. Hello, Guantanamo. Fran Lebowitz's interview was terrific. Keep moving. I'm going to pass out. Matthew Film, congratulations today. Been listening all day, last few hours, but recorded, so I'll catch up. I wanted to call in and discuss Keynesian economics, but I'll have to wait till another day. Give yourself a fanfare. Will do. You're not the last IM of the day. Very close. 7621, g'day, Sam. Listening live in Australia, 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. makes for great Friday. Congrats on the first year. Thank you. Glad to hear from Australia. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we may have to make the last IM from Dane Cook, the man. Happy anniversary, Sam. I'm sorry I missed Marin earlier on the show today. Were you able to keep his ego under control when you had him on? Wait a second. I'm going to go to the phone calls. Hello? Hello? Keep that. I don't mind that ringing.
Okay.
Where is he? Yo!
Whoever it is has less than 5 minutes. No, about 5 minutes.
Wait a second. Wait a second, I was on a different call. Let's go. Hi, you calling on Skype? You're calling on Skype. Who's this? Hello? Am I not on that sign? Oh, I'm on hold. Hold on. Hold on, bear with me. Hello. Yeah,
hello.
Who's this? You call
hello.
Hello, who's this?
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I'm Mitch, calling from Tokyo. Congratulations. Happy anniversary and everything.
Thank you.
I want to let you know, I found the money order that I promised to send you. I'm going to become a member. I'm not a member now. Been listening for, I don't know, years, I guess.
Hold on.
Yeah. I don't want to hang up to with almost done. So it's really entertaining listening to you go on with these libertarians. But, man, especially the child labor thing. I sent you an email about this a long time ago, but you got into it with a guy. He was the brother of some candidate.
Right. Andrew Schiff, Peter Schiff's brother.
Yeah. And his argument was that, you know, things were just so groovy with capitalism that we didn't need child labor anymore.
That's
and,
right.
You know, and he kept mentioning 1934. And 1934, capitalism was failing big time. And that's what, if anything, killed, you know, child labor as far as making it obsolete. It was the fact that adults wanted those jobs at the same wages that they were paying the children.
Yep.
You know, it's just, anyway, good to see you go back and forth with these guys. It's really entertaining. The money order's on the way. I promise I found it. I told you back in March that I would send it, and then I just
I've been waiting, man. That's why I've been doing the show. I just had to keep doing the show until you sent that damn thing. But yeah. I appreciate it, buddy. I got to jump. I got some other calls, but thank you so much for calling
in. Thanks a lot.
All right. Talk to you. Talk to you soon. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you won't be. Hold on. We should be anticipating a call in just a moment. Let's do this. Call it. Hello. All right. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy who really, if there's one single person who is most responsible for the show happening, you're looking for someone to blame. It is this guy who is on the phone. I'm, of course, speaking of the guy who set up the entire delivery mechanism for the show, both the live, the podcast, the capacity to take phone calls, the website, the promotion on Twitter and Facebook would donate your account. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Schenck. Did I lose you?
No, I think you lost me when it wasn't 24 hours. So I'm surprised it ended up being 12. But I'm glad you did it. I'm glad you at least did 12.
I know you'd be pissed off. Oh, and I should also say, also the guy who's responsible probably for ending our relationship with Chris Rosen.
Sure.
By
the way,
yeah,
he's definitely online. You know, he's been tweeting about the Jets game, so I feel like he's
really
ignoring me.
Yes, yeah. He did, because he actually sort of like made a point of going offline. He definitely must have been online, definitely ignoring me.
Exactly. But anyway, I'm glad, you know, I tweeted you a joke and it became a real thing. So I tweeted you about having a 24-hour marathon, and here we go. It happened. But the numbers all day were amazing. The live listenership was 4 or 5 times more than normal all day.
Wow. That's great. Hopefully we'll get 4 or 5 times, 4 or 5 times the amount of new members today. That would be also awesome. We'll see. We've got to check those numbers. I don't know what that four,
I hope.
4 or 5 times, that would be like 20 times the original. I don't know. You know the math better than I do. But we are literally 20 seconds away, ladies and gentlemen, from doing 12 hours. Kyle, I want to thank you very much. Folks, you should follow Kyle's Twitter feeds, because he's coming out with all sorts of fascinating technologies always, but some really big ones soon. So, you know, follow Kyle.
I have a list of things that happened on the show today that I can reel off real quick.
Yeah, please.
All right. A great friend Lee Witz interview. Glenn Greenwald's barking dogs.
Go ahead.
Dilligan's Island as a concept. Something that doesn't pass the smell test, and also the allegation of defecation. Catherine Harris knows about Chris Rosen. And I think John Benjamin needs my help to start a new show. So I think I might be heading over to John Benjamin's camp to help him set up a subscriber show like yours, but for him. So
I guess
John Benjamin's camp? But don't you know Occupy Wall Street's been evicted? They're gone.
Well, I think John Benjamin has a web internet show. That's what I'm thinking next for him. So
yeah,
I can help him build
you guys
show.
Are talking past each other. But also, I want to take this, Kyle, thank you so much. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
1 year.
Thanks, Conan. Yeah, it was unbelievable. We, Kyle and I just had a conversation one day in October of or September of 2010. He's like, oh, yeah, I can say, yep. And I was like, really? Oh, okay. Because people know how technophobic I am. And also, I want to, folks, if you're on the phone, I'm sorry. We just can't get to you. But you can call in. We're not going to be live tomorrow, but we will be live Monday and Tuesday of next week. Every day at 11:30 a.m. We take phone calls starting at about noon every day. And I appreciate you calling in. We just have run out of time. So thank you very much. I just want to, before we sign off, I want to thank, what's your name again?
Are you kidding?
No. Matt! It's on the tip of my tongue, who has been here, for, I don't know, 16 hours, getting ready, for the show. He said, before we launched, the start of the show today, like, I'm really nervous. I don't know why. And I'm like, well, because we're about to do a 12-hour show. You're like, oh, but nothing's gone wrong yet. And I was like, well, we haven't started the show yet. And it turned out it all worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your Freebie Friday. We will be back live on Monday. We will be back live on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we will have portions of today. We'll make up that show. And members, of course, will get all of the material available to them over the what?
Nothing.
What did you want to say?
I was just asking if I should roll the actual music.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget. What happened? I never heard from Just Coffee. I thought those guys were going to call in. I want to thank Just Coffee at justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea. And chocolate, great stuff. And you should head over there, use the coupon code MAJORITY. Remember, our Amazon link, another way of supporting this program. If you buy crap through Amazon, buy it through our link. We get a kickback. You don't even notice the difference. And again, if you can become a member of the show, we certainly need the support and would certainly appreciate it. So see you on Monday. And... enjoy your weekend.
Just thank you for listening to 12 hours as if you've been listening to the live stream.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for listening for 12 hours, folks. And thanks for all the support that you guys have given over the years. Really appreciate it.
Here's to another year.
Hopefully, we'll be here with your help. Have a great one, folks.
Don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the man's not gonna kick in. Shifted it.